Hi, this is Pastor Bob. Welcome back again to Student of the Word. I'm going to talk to you today about a little bit of my history, but I'm going to talk to you about what is God looking for when he looks for a minister. We often think of education, going to a Bible school. Great thing, nice to have a diploma on the wall, but that diploma will not open doors. It may with people, but it's not going to open up any doors with God. God is looking for character. Above all, it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Character is what we're going to talk about today.
For more than 40 years, Bob Yandian has been an expositor of the Bible, making seemingly complicated doctrine easy to understand. Grab your Bible and study the Word of God with Bob Yandian.
Hello and welcome back again to Student of the Word with Pastor Bob Yandian. Great to have you here today. I'm just going to talk to you just kind of like, you know, I'm just going to tell you some things about my own life and some other things about just what the Word of God has to say about what is it that brings development in the Christian life and then promotion. And then how do you even get into the ministry and what should be looking for? Most people think, so it's kind of like with the world with the education. What do you want to be? Well, I just like computers. Well, we're going to go to school and learn about how to operate computers. And there was a time in our country where the schooling wasn't that much, and you just sat beside somebody. And you remember all the names, like, you know, with Smith and Sons and things like that. You have different businesses, and it was so-and-so and their son. Well, that's the way that people learn. The son was the one that sat beside the father who did the business. It was carried on to the next generation. We don't find much of that today, because once you find out what you want to do, we don't think much about going to work for some place where you can learn that. We think about going to school to learn about it. And there's more to your life than just education. Just for example, my own life, I couldn't afford to go to Bible school. And I mean, when my wife and I, Loretta and I, got married, I had, you know, no education as far as ministry was concerned, except I just grew up in church and I learned. And I would, of course, I'd hear the ministers and things, but I just had this desire in me. I wanted to be a teacher of the Word of God. And that came to me my junior year at Oklahoma State University. God said he was calling me to that. So after that year, I went to Bible school, got married that year. And the Bible school I went to was just a small school here in Tulsa. And we had about 30 students. It met at a house, and the leader of it was a pastor who came over from England. In fact, he was Smith Wigglesworth's pastor, came over and started this school in Tulsa, and we had a few students. And so it was not anything. You don't get a diploma when you graduate, except from that school. It doesn't count toward anything. And people often ask me, when I get out, are you going to go to some university? Are you going to go to a Bible college of some kind? I couldn't afford it. I mean, my wife and I were barely making enough for us to get by. And I was introduced to some reel-to-reel tapes. Remember reel-to-reel tapes and cassettes? That was all back in those days. But anyway, some guy just handed me some, and so I got them. And so it was cheaper than going get an education, but this guy was just great, just tremendous. And I learned so much from him. He would talk about different authors he read after, and so I'd go buy their books. And most of my education came from sitting at my desk and listening to these and writing the notes down, all those different things. And that's what opened up the door for me to end up what I was going to be. And so many people put all the emphasis on education. I have nothing wrong with education. And I mean, there's great Bible school, great Bible colleges and universities, but that's not what makes you who you are. What is it that God is looking for? And what we're going to talk about today is what God is looking for most of all is character, not just education. And so I have a book on Proverbs, and this is my book on the book of Proverbs, but this book has helped to change so many lives and to bring people around to what really is important in life. And it's not so much the outside education that comes your way or what other people have to say. It's what you learn from standing beside ministers. And this is still God's pattern throughout the Word of God, and that those who travel with Paul became the ministers of large churches in the world at that time. And I think of Timothy, he ended up being the pastor of the church at Ephesus, which was the largest church in the ancient world. So we have that over and over again, but I'm going to talk to you about character today, because character has to be developed. It's not something you can go get an education for. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, it says this, "You younger, submit yourself to the older. All of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility." For, and he quotes from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34, "God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may exalt you in due time." I've been hanging around some people in the ministry and for some time. And anyway, I get friends from all different types of background, but it's just interesting to hear them talk about or even have their prayers. And oftentimes the prayer is this, and Lord, help me to be subjective one to another. Help me, Lord, to humble myself. And Lord, help me be humble. And this verse of scripture really comes down to it. God's not going to help you be humble. It's a decision you make yourself. So many things in the Christian life are decisions, starting with the first one, to get born again. Oh God, give me a desire for you. That's a stupid prayer. You've got to have a desire for him. He's not going to give you a desire for him. Otherwise he would be urging and actually promoting your salvation. He did everything he could. Now the next step is up to you. And so many things in the Word of God are that way. And really when it comes to humility, the Bible talks about you humble yourself. Notice what it says again here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Submission to somebody else, and this is talking about, again, talks about the younger to the older. It's really talking about the immature to the mature. And oftentimes a mature person can be 18, 19, 20 years old. The immature person can be 50. And we'll find this out again as I'm teaching further through this. So the younger is to submit themselves to the older, or the immature to the mature. And this means, again, when it comes to attitude, and listen, and there's times I have worked for people that I knew better, that what they were doing was wrong. I asked them if I could help them some, and a lot of them just got mad at me and basically looked at me as I was just young. I was immature, and I was young, and I was immature. In certain areas, though, I did have some education. I knew some things. So it came back to it. I just would back off, Len, and this is what we should do. Younger, submit yourself to the other, to the older. All of you be subject one to another. There's times, again, when one submits to the other, but there's also times when someone has an idea and you submit yourself to them because it's a good idea. Doesn't matter if they're younger or older than you, or more mature or immature. It comes back to it. They simply have a good idea. There comes times when it's not just having to do with, you know, length of time that you've been working for somebody, or the education level of somebody else. It actually comes back to it. Anybody can have a good idea. And will you stop and submit yourself to it and then compliment them for that? And again, it says here, you are to clothe yourself with humility. What people need to see around you is your humble attitude, because God resists the proud person. You may have all the education. You may be qualified to take a church. You may be qualified to take the youth department. When you just keep pressing your qualifications, the Bible says God resists that. And what he looks for is the humble person, one that will start, even if you've been a youth director before. And you come to a church now and they're looking for a youth director, but they want you to work under the youth director that's there because he'll be leaving soon. And you just get upset thinking, they ought to put me in there right away. I'm better than him. Well, see, God resists that. And don't be surprised if the person who's in charge of the church, the pastor or whoever, the associate that's going to put you in that position, doesn't see the same thing. And they don't like that because they realize you're going to carry that attitude in there. And more than just what you know about working with youth, your attitude is actually contagious. And when you have an attitude of self-centeredness, that's going to spread to others. And then, of course, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Notice again, humble yourself. It's a decision you make and a decision you act on, and God will promote the humble person. When I first took the church, I hadn't had it very long. I mean, this is back in 1980 that I took the church and became pastor, and pastored for 33 years. And I had just attended the church, and I had just, you know, attended other churches before, but I had a call on my heart, and I knew I was supposed to take this church. And the church had 1,200 people when I took it. And most people, some were upset with me, mad with me, because I'd never pastored before. And my first church was going to be 1,200. And so a number of weeks after that, because we started growing immediately, I mean, my wife and I looked and said, we need this, we need that. And we were looking more than just the education of people in the Word of God. We looked at what youth needed. We looked at what, you know, children needed. We looked at for a better music department. And we wanted a choir in the church. I don't think choirs are that big anymore. But anyway, we wanted one. And the things we were saying that just pleased the people, plus the teaching. And I taught them the Word. And I simply told them, we're not going to get into a lot of different subjects in here. The subjects will come out through the Word. I'm going to teach you the Word of God. And I, again, am a teacher, if you don't know that by now. But anyway, after church one day, I'd probably had the church for about 2 or 3 months, a professor came to me from ORU. who attended the church, and he came to me and just looked at me and said, I'm supposed to have this church. And I said, what? He says, I'm supposed to have this church. He started going down his list of qualifications. And he talked about, I've been so long at this college, I've been so long at that college, I'm now a professor at ORU. And he went down the list of things. He says, I should have had this church. They never confronted me. And I think that you should turn the church over to me. And I said, well, I can only see one difference between you and me. He said, what's that? And I said, the call. I've been called to do this. He got all incensed. And he was thinking again that everything revolved around his education. Everything revolved around his number of degrees. And it doesn't. God doesn't look for degreed people. God looks for humble people. God looks for people that can work with other people. One day I was walking out of the church and there was, ORU was about to start at that time. We had a lot of ORU students that came to our church, but there was a group of them and one girl came over to me and she said, and she introduced herself and said, I'm new in town. I'm just coming to ORU. And she was, you know, and talking to me like that. And then she said something about, she said, did you ever go to college? And I said, yeah. She said, what did you take? I said, well, I took business education. She said, oh, good. Because if the ministry ever fails, you have something to fall back on. I just looked at her like that thought never had crossed my mind. I never would want to go back into business. I had some business background, but it never even crossed my mind. I just looked at my wife, looked at me, and I looked at my wife, and we walked out and said, what in the world? But see, some people have this idea what you're educated for and what you go to school for, that's what you should be doing. When they don't realize many people who go to college change their majors one after another because they just don't know exactly what they want to do, and sometimes they're too young to even know what they want to do. Or they haven't actually discovered in them what's there. And they try to pattern themselves after other people. You learn submission to those above you, whether you agree with them or not, whether you like them or not, you learn submission because you practice it. You make the decision to do that. The character of God and the gifts of God, they all work together. There was a girl that was in our church and she just worked around the church. She helped in the audio department. And So we were coming to the point where we needed a bookstore. We didn't have anybody to run a bookstore. Didn't know anybody. And I went to people in the church that I thought should know something about it. And they just said, I don't want it. I don't want the obligation and responsibility to run the bookstore. And so I was kind of up a creek. I didn't know what to do. And one Saturday, I was in the church. I was praying over the chairs and everything. And that girl was in the church because she was helping with the audio department, just volunteering. And she tried to keep herself to where I couldn't see her. And she was walking by and trying to be quiet. And I looked at her and the Lord said something to me. He said, it's first of all required of a steward that they be found faithful. And the Lord said, I don't look for qualified people. I look for faithful people. And he said this to me, you can teach them qualifications, but you can't teach them faithfulness. That stuck with me. I went to her later, asked her if she'd consider running a bookstore and putting all that together. She just looked at me and kind of shook, said, I don't know anything about it. I said, I'll pay for it. We'll pay for getting you an education in that area and you learn it. She was so excited and she became the most incredible worker in the church. I mean, before that, she was just a volunteer. Then we paid her to be in the bookstore, all this. And then many, many years later, she left the church because she moved back to where she came from. And when she went there, she ran their bookstore from what she learned here. Again, it comes back to if this is what God is looking for. He's looking for faithful people. See you right after the break.
Many Christians are quick to confess all that they are, all that they have, and all they can do. They appear to overflow in knowledge of righteousness, healing, authority, and many other spiritual truths. Yet for all this spiritual knowledge, many of these same people are foolish and unlearned when it comes to the practical things of Christian life. As James said, "My brethren, these things ought not be so." The book of Proverbs is a prime source of the wisdom we need for daily existence, and a close study of it is well worth our time and attention. In Proverbs, Wisdom for Today, Bob Yandian discusses what wisdom is, its benefits, how to find it, where it comes from, and how to receive it in order to help you live a life of wisdom. To order Proverbs, Wisdom for Today, visit our website at bobyandian.com.
Do you ever feel like understanding the Bible is complicated? Like deep theological truths are out of reach? Renowned teacher Bob Yandian makes learning easy with Theology Simplified. Let this two-volume bundle be your guide to understanding foundational biblical truths in simple, practical language. Volume 1 breaks down 8 essential doctrines of the Christian faith, bringing clarity and confidence to your walk with God. In Volume 2, discover the depths of God's redemptive plan. the church's true purpose, and how you fit into his victorious story. Now, for a limited time, bundle and save. Get Theology Simplified Volumes 1 and 2 together and unlock a deeper understanding of God's Word. Don't wait. Start your journey to greater biblical understanding today. Order now at bobbyandian.com. Theology doesn't have to be complicated. Let's simplify it together.
Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. Because of your generosity, this teaching ministry is able to change countless lives. You will never know until you get to heaven how many people received Jesus, were filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, or found God's will for their life through your support and prayers. If you would like to become a partner with Bob Yandian, visit bobyandian.com and click on Partnership.
I'm talking to many of you out there who may be at a church and you know you want to be in the ministry and you know you're looking for the proper way to do it. You're thinking education, all these other stuff. I want you to come back to it. Character is the most important thing that God is looking for. Again, he's looking for faithful people. He's looking for people that are clothed with humility, that people can get along with and that, you know, are able to, you know, suffer when people come up to you with their weird ideas and all the different pushing and all that. All you do is fall back on the character of God that's inside of you. And God will see to it you're promoted. Okay, God promotes you when your character exceeds your gifts. And we need to understand that because we keep promoting our gifts. How many people have come to me during the years I pastored and said, I want to speak at your church. I've traveled for this, and they start naming all the places they've been and the kind of miracles that they've seen in their ministry, things like that. And all, you know, and after a while, that's all they pushed. And what I wanted to see was character. How am I going to see character? Introduce yourself. Let me get to know you some, you know, and if you're in the church, then, you know, volunteer for something. And I had people in the church that wouldn't volunteer for anything. They wanted to go straight to the top and they wanted to be the head of that department. Many gifted people go unnoticed in a world filled with others who are more gifted. The gifted usually have short careers and are unhappy striving to promote themselves. And they're usually replaced quickly. Many non-gifted people rise to the top and are hired and promoted because they have character. And above all, like God said, he's looking for faithfulness. Employers seek character over the gifted. And this is outside the church. This is just employees. And you'll notice this, people with character last a long time. People that are gifted often are out the door because they're often bragging about their gifts. The world doesn't owe you a job. Your education doesn't bring you a job or keep it for you. More people are fired for lack of character than lack of education. So when you are rewarded and promoted for your gifts, you usually end up like many musicians and actors that are spoiled in arrogance. An elder, the Bible talks about let the elder again and the younger get along with each other, and the younger is to be subjected to the elder and subjected to the elder, and it's not doing with age. It's not doing with, you know, how long the person's been at the church. It's talking about those who have worked in that department for some time, and you are to submit yourself to them, not coming in wanting to change things immediately when you get in there. An elder is not one who is old, but somebody who is mature despite his age. It comes down to this. There's many 50-year-old children, but there's also some 20-year-old adults, but there's not that many 20-year-old adults, but there's many that are old that still act like immature children. Life is unfair. Things don't always go your way. Determination to submit in unfair circumstances builds character. In fact, it's the rough times you go through that help to develop character. If everything went good, just like you want it all the time, you'd be a spoiled brat. And there's many people that work in churches, there's many people that work in businesses, and they're spoiled brats because someone was there, a father or an uncle or somebody that owned the business that promoted them simply because they were related to them and they don't have the next generation in mind. They have themselves in mind. They're not looking to build the business. They're looking to take it for themselves. In fact, many I know that this happened to. The father turned the business over to the son. He began to take money out of it, paid himself huge amounts of money, and the business went down because he didn't have character. He didn't understand that I'm here to serve others, not for this business to serve me. Giving every unfair situation to God makes you Christ-like. And this is what God wants you to do. When I went to Bible school, again, I didn't have every opportunity open up in front of me. And so what the minister that ran the Bible school said was, as we got close to graduation, He began to say, what do you want to do to different ones? And they'd say, well, missions. So he said, here's some names of missions organizations. You can send a letter to them. You can tell me you went to this school. They know me personally. And so he began to give help to those. And again, he was doing it simply out of his heart, wanting to help them. But most of them, it didn't help. Because why? You don't get into a ministry because you send out your resume to people. You get in there because what they're looking for above your resume, they're looking for, are you Christ-like? They're looking for those things in your life that mark you as mature. And so when graduation time came, he came to me and said, have you been sending out a resume? He said, you're a very good teacher. And I said, no, sir. He said, why? I said, because I'm not going to promote myself. He said, but you need to promote yourself. I said, I'm not going to. Paul didn't promote himself. Peter didn't promote himself. If my lifestyle doesn't speak loud enough, I'm not going to send out a resume. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm just going to take whatever I can get in church. And I took a fifth grade class of boys. And there were about seven of them in there. And that's where I started. And they brought Cokes to the class and things like this. They were drinking their Cokes and talking to each other. And it was hard to keep their attention. And the next thing the pastor did came along and told me, said, I think you're a little bit above their head. And because the ones I'd studied after, you know, were people that had large churches and also people just that were known around the world for having a good education in the things of God, but also an ability to preach and teach. And most all of them said the same thing. I learned more working in a church than I ever did going to a Bible school. And they said, I got some education in Bible school, but I learned how to be a quality minister by working around people. People is everything. That's the whole thing. Whether you're in business or whether you're pastoring a church or ministering in a church or you're a youth director, children's director, people are the most important thing. Learning to work with people, and that can be difficult. So giving every unfair situation to God, again, makes you Christ-like. And this is what God wants you to be, is Christ-like. So God always looks for people with character. He'll turn down the gifted and are often even banishing them until they saw themselves as nobodies. God doesn't want you when you think of yourself as a somebody. He wants to put you in there when you consider yourself a nobody, and you need God and His power to do everything that you can. Then you begin to see people around you as needs, and that you look for ways to meet the needs, not for ways of putting them down and lifting yourself up. You're not there to do that. So again, God has always looked for people with character. And He's turned down, throughout the Word of God, turned down the gifted or even banished them for a while until they saw themselves as nobodies. The moment you see yourself as a nobody, God says, now I can use you. I can mold you. I can shape you. And you'll learn to appreciate people around you for what they have done. Moses was sent to the backside of the wilderness until he saw himself as a nobody, because Moses thought of himself as a somebody. He was high in position in Egypt, and he ran the military. He was probably going to be considered next in line to take over the position of Pharaoh. But Moses was sent to the backside of the wilderness by God until he could sweat the somebody out of Moses, and Moses would finally just see himself as a nobody. He was 40 years on the backside of the wilderness. He was tending sheep. And by the time that the burning bush, and he saw it, and God began to call him back to Egypt, he just said, Lord, I can't do anything. I can't even talk anymore. And God said, that's fine. I will be your voice. I will be your voice inside of you. And on top of that, I'll send your brother with you, Aaron, and he'll do the talking for you. Well, I love what happened. They came back to the place to Egypt, and they were before Pharaoh, and Moses just turned it over to his brother. And so as Moses was there, suddenly he looked to his brother and saw he wasn't doing such a good job, and Moses just interrupted and took over. And that's when his calling came to him. But he had suffered on the backside of the wilderness. God had to sweat the somebody out of him till he saw himself as a nobody. And God said, now I can use you. And he went back there totally looking to God's power, not looking to his own education, his own former position in Egypt. Saul of Tarsus. If there's anybody that should probably had a big head, it was Saul of Tarsus. And probably when he was knocked down on the road to Damascus, probably thought, well, of course God wants me. Look at me. Look at my education. Look how many years I have been in the ministry. And God sent him for 14 years to Arabia until he learned later that, again, as he later returned as Paul to enter his ministry. And so this is the point I'm bringing out to you throughout the Word of God. God is looking for people who see themselves basically as nobody, And without the power of God, they could not possibly be a somebody. And they constantly are seeking and looking to God and even bringing up, Lord, in myself, I can do nothing. And I don't care how long you've been a minister. In yourself, you can still do nothing. Without God, you couldn't do anything. So Epaphras is one that I love. He's found in the book of Colossians. He's mentioned in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7. And Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And Epaphras brings it out in the verse of Scripture, Paul and God both, again, working together in this book. And Epaphras, the pastor of the church at Colossae, was called one of you. And what he brought out was by one of you as he came up through the church. He didn't have an education in a Bible school. He didn't have an education following somebody else. He didn't work for this church, that church, this church. He'd just been in this church. And probably since the time he was born, one of you simply means, again, he gave his life to Jesus probably as a child in the children's department. Then he worked, you know, then he was in the youth department. Then he probably helped in the church. He became one of the elders in the church, working through the church and helping people in every way he can. And he eventually became the pastor of the church. Notice again, you've never heard of Epaphras probably. It's the only time he's even mentioned the word of God, and notice the great things that are said about him. He said, Epaphras, who is one of you, apparently saved in the church, came up through the different departments of the church, volunteered for many positions, and then he became the pastor and was simply called faithful. Colossians 1:7, same thing again, chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And Paul complimented him for his love for the people, his care and prayer for them, that they would all stand mature and complete in God's will. Notice this, Epaphras wasn't that interested in himself even as the pastor. The only thing he looked for to see how far he had come in the ministry was the advancement of the people. And there again it says that as he was called faithful, Paul complimented him for his love for the people, his care and prayer for them, that they would all stand mature and complete in the will of God. What he wanted to see on the outward side of them was how the people had grown and matured. And Paul mentioned him twice. I think it's one of the greatest compliments found in the Word of God for somebody you probably never heard of. And I can tell you today that Epaphras is in heaven probably saying, I don't care if my name came up. I didn't even want Paul to put my name in there. That's because he had a humble attitude before the Lord and saw that everything that he had came from God. And that was his call to minister. That was his stuff that he preached. That was the revelations that came to him. All these things, because the whole thing was not for him to say, look how great I preach. Not for him to walk out the door waiting for everybody to pat him on the back and say, great sermon. That would not be his thing he looked to. That was not the standard he looked to see if he was a successful pastor. He looked at people who came into church as alcoholics. They came in with drug problems. They came in with marriage problems. They came in as sinners. They got saved as Christians. They got rededicated to the Lord. They grew in the things of God. And then he saw them become leaders in the church. He saw total transformations on the inside of these people. He remembered when they first came. He remembered the problems he had with them. But now he looks at them, how much they have changed. And Paul said, that is what God is looking at you for, because you helped to raise these people up and you're not looking for a pat on the back. Your greatest thing right now is to see the change that comes in people and understand it's the word you preach and the power of God. The Bible says, above all, it is required that a man be found faithful. This is what God is looking for. The world looks for qualifications and God looks for character. Why don't you get to work on your character? You might find advancement's going to come quickly.
You can order resources, become a partner, or browse free articles and podcasts. You can also join our mailing list and receive weekly devotions and the latest ministry updates. Visit bobyandian.com. To contact us by mail, use the address on your screen. Thank you for watching today's broadcast. We'll see you next time on Student of the Word with Bob Yandian.